Yep. I am going to the game. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. Kicking it off right this week. We're going straight to a guest. Not just any guest.
No.
Hall of Famer. Leaf great. Former teammate of mine. Stood up at my wedding. How nice was that?
Is that right? That's incredible. Hey. Welcome to the show.
Welcome in, Leaf legend, Matt Sundin.
Hey. Nice.
Not just any Matt Sundin, author.
Oh.
Matt Sundin. Here it is. Ready? October 22nd is the official sale. Tomorrow it kicks off. It'll be officially on sale for you. Home and Away by Matt Sundin with Amy Stewart. Matt, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Very good. This coffee is too hot.
too hot and not good. Sorry about that.
Well, listen, it's not as hot as you are right now because you are very much in demand, my friend. First of all, like, authored. How's that sound? I know Hall of Famer. I know Leaf Great.
Amy Stewart is the real author, but I did write some of the stuff myself. But it's fun. And I you know, said, if I don't do the book we started last summer, it's never going to happen. So, I get no respect at home for my kids anymore. And I figure if they can read this book, they're going to say, you know, he was a pretty good hockey player. Like in 3 or 5 years. They don't care at all.
They don't ask now.
No.
Did you find it almost therapeutic to go through the past and sort of take a zoomed out look at your life?
It was. You know, we are a little wiser as we get older. And just looking back, when you have your own kids, mm-hmm. looking back at childhood, what my parents did for me and my brothers, and if I do half of the stuff they do now, I'm going to do well. So I was very fortunate. And you realize nowadays not everybody gets that kind of support. We were very fortunate. We talk about that in the upbringing. You know, one of the most common questions I get is, you know, people think there's a secret sauce to, you know, being a hockey player or have a career that I had, and it's not really. So we try to reflect on that, and then also obviously my 13 years with the Leafs, being the captain for 11 years, there's a lot of stuff with coaches and things you go through that I think that, fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs and people that care about the team will find interesting. So we decided to do it.
We know you're on a tight schedule here, and we only have you for a few minutes, so let's just talk a little bit about, some key points in the book, and one of them is around the captaincy of being a Toronto Maple Leaf and what it means, not only for you, but the history of it. It came to light once again this summer when they made the change from John Tavares to Austin Matthews, but, I did find it fascinating reading your story about, you know, how Boreas Salming, great Leaf, Swedish leader for all of us in that generation, really influenced you the most with your decision. Now, I knew of Boreas growing up as one of my heroes as well, but I always thought, Mats, when Boreas turned down the captaincy, it was because, you know, he wasn't in a position to really lead off the ice. I knew Boreas like to have a good time, and maybe held him back a little bit.
Yeah.
But it didn't, because in your book, I learned that he ultimately didn't take it because he never saw himself as a captain based on the fact that he wasn't from here.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And he was the first guy I called when the Leafs asked me, we want you to be the captain for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I immediately called Boreas, and he said right away, well, you have to accept it. I said, why is that? And he said, it's such the biggest hockey franchise in the world. Being the captain for the Toronto Maple Leafs is such an honorable role to have, even though it's just a letter stitch on your sweater, but it means so much. And he also regretted not accepting the captaincy. So it was an easy decision for me after talking to Boreas.
And how did that change how you viewed yourself or the pressure? I ask you that in light of looking at Toronto's situation with Tavares having it, then Matthews. How does it change your day-to-day as an athlete with the Leafs?
Well, I was fortunate in my career. I played with, Joe Sakic, great captain, great leader, Doug Gilmore, you know, Nicholas Lidstrom I played with. He was assistant for Detroit. He was the captain when they won the Stanley Cup, the first, I think, European captain to win a Stanley Cup. And all those guys, all great leaders, lead by example. And I think I was a captain from 10, 12 years of age. I enjoyed feeling like I got more responsibility. It made me a better player. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys don't want that. I understand that. But for me, it had always been there that I felt that I performed better, feeling that I had a little bigger responsibility. And so it made me a better player.
What about dealing with the media? Because unlike anywhere else, with maybe the exception of Montreal, but yeah. Was it always in your back of your mind, and even Boreas, knowing what kind of attention the players yeah. get, particularly the ones that wear the C in this town, and how no player should ever take it lightly? And I think your line in the book was when it comes to the Toronto media, that understanding that I think it was panic is good for their business. which pretty much sums up our show with Sammy McKee.
Especially the tagline of our right? show.
No, but I think, and I think all players eventually have to understand too that over a long season, I don't care if you're the Stanley Cup winner at the end of a year or not, or missing the playoffs, all teams go through adversity, right? Mm. And all teams are going to have losing streaks and things are not going the way you should. But in Toronto, it's almost on an everyday basis. It's different than playing for Carolina or Tampa, where you can go a few weeks and teams are struggling and no one really is that worried about it. But in a great market like Toronto, where you have the fans so committed to the team, they care about the team and media are reporting about it, it is different. But I think my strategy was, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? And sometimes the media portrays like this team will win the Stanley Cup this mm-hmm. year because they're that great. Or even you know, like you guys are saying, the panic and team is not as good as we're hoping. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup. So I think you just have to realize that and have that relationship with to keep sane and not worried about what's going on in the media on an everyday basis.
Yeah. Matt, I'd like to hear a little bit about being a Swedish player in the NHL. You know, having played hockey enough, I know that the Swedish guys tend to go to dinner together, and yeah. often most of them, I think, go home to Sweden after their careers and remain tied to home.
Yeah.
You know, even more so than I think a lot of North American yeah. players who move around. Explain that connection, I guess.
Well, I think it was important to make sure that even we had a lot of Swedish teammates, but I want to make sure that we don't just hang the Swedes together or whatever you guys, Canadians, Russians. I mean, we have so many different nationalities, and that's the way it is all around the league.
Yeah.
And most players went home for the summertime, I think. And if you played in Toronto, it was a good break. You don't see your family and friends over the whole winter. But Swedish players, I mean, when I broke into the league, there were 17, 18 Swedish players in the league.
Right.
And today it's over 100. Some of them have very big roles in the league. There's a lot of captains out there. So Swedish hockey, and I think Boris Salming was the guy that really paved the way to realize, NHL management realized, you know what? Swedish players can handle the North American game that is more intense on the big ice surface. So, yeah.
We're joined by Matt Sundin, Hockey Hall of Famer, Leaf great, in studio. And the book is called Home and Away with Amy Stewart, officially on sale tomorrow. So grab your copy. Christmas is coming. It's a great read. Again, enjoyed a lot of parts of it, including the time that Ty tried to bluff his way onto your line. and Pat Quinn called you over
yeah.
and said, so I hear you want Ty on your line.
What? Said, no. No. Oh.
What happened there? Ty telling the coach?
Pat shook his head there and, all right, let's start practice. Just before the practice started, we're skating around the rink and, Pat, can I talk to you? I said, sure. I said, you want to play with Ty? I said, no. I didn't think so, but it was in my office. Yeah, he's going to kill me now when I see him.
Next. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's in the book.
Me too.
So, yeah.
Me too. Just in terms of that whole relationship, even with Pat Quinn, right, as a captain, and now we're seeing Craig Berube, and maybe some similarities between Berube and Pat, where they're not long on long-winded answers, but they're short and to the point. Just in terms of now Austin, have you talked to Austin about captaincy at all? Has he come to you for advice? Yeah. What would you say to him? Because there is a fine line, Mats, where you don't want to change too much, but you have to change enough so you show that it was worthy of the decision. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. You know, I would say Pat Burns and Pat Quinn were both, you know, they had the presence in the room, right? They came in. They didn't have to say anything. I think Craig Berube has the same thing. And I agree with you that the relationship between the captain and the coach is good. The coach wants to get a feel for what's going on in the group and what things do we have to change and what things are doing well. And to me, I haven't talked to Austin about the captaincy, but I watch him, and he's you know, as good as a person off the ice as he is on the ice. You know, he's one of the best players in the league, and he is a leader, and the guys in the room is going to follow him. And for him, just keep playing the way you have. And you look at all the great leaders, you know, names Joe Sakic, the Gilmores, Nicholas Lidstrom, Steve Yzerman, Scott Niedermeyer, all lead by example. Hardworking guys. They do what they're supposed to do on the ice, and the rest of the group's going to follow them. So he's going to do great.
And I do remember that for sure, that your number one responsibility as a captain is to go out there and lead by example.
Yep.
But, you know, looking back at your career, was there times maybe in certain areas that you thought maybe, man, if I can go back and do it all over again, I would have said this or done that or been more involved, less involved?
I got criticized. And, you know, in your prime, obviously, you sign long-term deals, you're in your prime, and the team wants to extend your contracts and all that. So, and maybe it's something Swedish, but obviously you also, and I got reminded of that, like you have power right now to actually say, I think we need these things, assets, to be able to contend for a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very vocal, but I also always thought that my job as a captain is to be as good as I can be myself, try to get this team to be as good as we can be on the ice. And, you know, the chain of command is, you know, president down to the general managers and coaches and all that. So I didn't get involved a lot with that. And I reflect on it. I wonder if it would have changed anything in a big way. So just different ideas about that.
So, like, you know, you're talking about maybe influencing things beyond your actual job, but you recognize that you had a voice to have some say in those areas. Do you feel now like, is there more you would want to do in the league in retirement? I know that's a roundabout way of getting to it, but...
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see eventually in the future. I think, I mean, we live in Sweden right now, and I have family and kids. It was very nice to get invited by Brad Treliving to training camp this year, 3 weeks back, to be a little closer to the group and the guys. So we'll see what happens in the future. Yeah.
And just overall, from what you've watched so far, you do get a different feel for this club in the last 12 months.
Yeah, it was really nice to be close to the guys during training camp, and I'm very impressed with everything with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think they've made some great additions on defense. I think their goaltending looks great. Forwards, we know they're elite in the league, so. I'm very excited. I think the Toronto Maple Leaf fans should be very excited for this season. I have great expectations for this team.
Mats, I know we have to let you go in a minute or two, but just want to ask you about being Kipper's teammates. You guys ever fight in practice or anything?
I have a memory from Nick Kipper.
Oh, boy.
On my first year, actually. And he played for Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
And I skated by the bench. And he said something. I can't even say it here. Show, he gave me one of the first. And it actually, I was 19 years old. And I still remember it.
Wow.
But then
he struggled
so
with
bad.
Acne a little bit.
Exactly. He gave me a compliment. And he remembers himself.
Yeah.
He remembers himself, yeah.
And then he ended up teammates and made it work. That's
I thought this guy, this 19-year-old is going to embarrass me, so I better get into his kitchen real quick here.
Get a shot early. That's the way it goes sometimes.
All right. Well, listen, Mats, we know you're off running a few more appearances. Sure, we'll see you at the game tonight. But best of luck with home and away. And thanks for coming in, pal.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Having me, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, We'll talk Rangers and the Leafs Saturday night as we go into tonight's contest against Tampa Bay. You are watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne. Back after these words.
Kipper.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the hamster fell off the wheel upstairs.
That was a lot more intro lead-in than I'm used to.
Our thanks to Leaf great Matt Sundin in studio. If you're just joining us now, give us a download and catch the first 15, 18 minutes of our show with Matt Sundin. Terrific. And I'm sorry, Sammy, because, through my world-renowned research to get ready for the show, I had forgotten that like you're gaga over Matt Sundin.
Yeah.
But you got your picture with him, right?
We took the picture together, which is okay. Great. And I'm really happy you forgot that because I know you well.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have made a deal of it. You would have embarrassed me for sure.
Like a mom or a dad. Being like, is that the girl you like?
You definitely would have embarrassed me. So I'm happy that. Listen,
I feel like I've lost a moment. You
did miss one. Yeah.
Listen, when he came here, I shook his hand. I said, hey, Matt, it's nice to meet you. I made him laugh a little bit, and then we're good to go.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Did you tickle him?
No, I made a line about it being like a deposition in here, and he smiled and laughed. I'm like, well, all right. I'm good.
So Costanza, here we go, time to leave the room. There we go.
All right, here we go. Crash course on Saturday night. Once again, welcome to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Justin Bourne, Sammy Mikina, Kiprios, Leaf Edition, Hour. Saturday night, Leafs drop a 4-1 loss to the Rangers. Didn't feel like a 4-1 loss,
no.
Right? With a minute and 20 to go, mm-hmm. a shot away from tying the game. Yep. Leafs fall a little bit short here, but still some good vibes, I think, going into another signature game against Tampa Bay tonight.
Yeah. You know, the one takeaway I have from five games, you guys used to do five-game blocks, did you not, when you were a player, Kip?
Like, that's right.
Yeah. You know, you feel really good about the team after five games. Like, they lose that one. It's a close game against a good team, but if Willie shoots a couple in, you know, he had tons of chances, it might be a different outcome. In all, I didn't think they got outplayed. Pretty good hockey game. Didn't really change my view of the team much, except this is a team that can hang with pretty much anyone.
Yeah, I love that game on Saturday. Like, I think there's things that we can nitpick here, and we will, but generally, I think that's an awesome hockey game between two of the sort of, you know, you talk about the
Premier
League, the Elite League. Those are two of the teams that are going to matter, right? They're going to be teams that are, quote unquote, I use this word very lightly, contenders.
Oh.
And the Leafs, they could be one of them if the things broke right. And it just looked like that to me. They're two really good teams.
Okay, let's go to our first Kipper's Clipper of the Week with Craig Berube on his overview Saturday night.
Clip one.
Couldn't find the back of the net. You know, we had opportunities. I think we can do a better job of taking his eyes away a little bit more. But we had a lot of looks, just we didn't go in. And then we got to execute better in the third period in the power play in a 6-on-5.
Sorry, boys, my headphone wasn't corrected. I think I thought Derek was really letting us down. Silence there. Sorry to everybody. That was my fault.
It's funny when a guy, you know, it can sound like being simple or something, but it's a pretty simple evaluation, right? Like, you know, they didn't go in. Next time, get in his eyes a little bit more and hope it does.
It's funny, like, you know, I'm not a goaltending expert by any stretch of the imagination. People would call me the opposite, actually. I just blame them for everything. But I think Anthony Stolarz has had a wonderful start to the season.
Yeah.
Like, he's been excellent, and like he's been one of the best goalies in the league statistically.
Could not ask for anything more.
But you watch Shesterkin, and you're like, okay, that's the McDavid of goalies. That's, like, the level up of like, that is what the best goalie in the league looks like, and I thought he did look like that. Like, I thought he was unbelievable.
He kept them in the game.
Yeah. Like, Nylander has a shot in the third period where usually guys rip it high glove, and he went low glove, and, like, Shesterkin can drop it and get a piece, so it goes out his other side, and it's like, He's a good goalie. But yeah, Stolarz, to your point, statistically, one of the best in the league by actual goals to expected goals, like taking goals away from the opposition. He's been awesome.
No-brainer then. Goes right back at it against Tampa Bay.
Is that too much for you?
No, I think it's the right decision because this is a game that you, this is a division game. Mm-hmm. You need your best goalie, and he is today their best goalie by a country mile. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, worry about Columbus after tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So curious to see if we get the Hill the Beast or if Joe Woll is ready to go by then.
Berube alluded to it today that it's a possibility for tomorrow.
For Woll.
For Woll. But it was a possibility he was going to start game one.
I'd probably go to Hill the Beast.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
I think
that, just give him more time. Just give him more reps. Give him more of a feel here.
But then you go to Hill to be on Tuesday, and then Stolarz is ready for Thursday by then. It's like, I kind of like this. I kind of want to see him keep going, right? He's been awesome.
Yeah. I'd give him a break, Stolarz, by Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. I would.
Yeah.
Right? There's no reason to start making him feel like, hey, you could get 50 or 60 today.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you've got this depth. You've got to lean towards it.
Yeah.
So that's the way I would play it out. Now, you know, as much as we feel like that was a game that on a couple of bounces for Willie or Austin that the Leafs could have come out on top, there is a sense, there's a trend going on right now, much like we've seen in the playoffs, where it just may be good enough, but you don't get a key moment on a power play.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they managed two against a very ugly Los Angeles Kings hockey club, but in one where they needed one Saturday night, they once again didn't get it.
So they have had trouble scoring against the elite teams. Obviously, it's a running theme in playoffs for a while, and part of that is power play. We have Berube to talk about it. Why don't we play clip two and go from there?
Well, they're going to be disappointed because, you know, we didn't score. Now, there were some good looks in the power play tonight, but the one in the third period, you know, we didn't execute very well in that one, our entries, and we turned it over a couple of times. And just, you know, when the game's on the line right there, you have an opportunity to tie it up. We've got to have more urgency.
Best power play chance was the one to Tavares in the slot. He got off a pretty good rip that Shesterkin caught.
Waist high, though. Either,
not all the way up.
You're either bar down or along the ice. But, you know, Shesterkin kind of
sold it.
Bernie Perron
gave it the old Patrick Wall windmill. Yeah,
a little windmill there, but he shot it in his glove.
Yeah. Can I ask you about the power play and what he said there and what he's been saying from the start of training camp into the first five games of the season is urgency.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps saying, we got to move quicker. And it just, I don't think, has it? Has it looked any quicker?
No.
Then when is the message on this going to get through? Because he just keeps saying it every post game, every pregame, every time he talks about the power play is urgency.
Yeah.
And there's never any urgency.
I would like to see someone one touch a pass to someone else. Like, it feels like everyone catches the puck, has a look. The other glaring thing right now, through five games, Marner has zero power play shots.
Play shots? Really?
Zero. Did you watch him Saturday? He's doing figure eights in a bumper position where he hardly touches the puck. He is your number one facilitator out there.
He is.
Get him out of the bumper. I'm sorry, but he's lost there.
Yeah, it's not the right spot for him. Not even close. It's actually the worst spot for him.
Worst.
I'd rather see him in front of the net than in the bumper.
So maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, it's not helping, but
how are you going to shoot the puck if you don't get it?
But even when he gets it on the flank, you know, he skates it down low and looking for something, and I just would like to see a little bit more.
When Babcock...
How about the Rangers goal against the Leafs? Yes. 6-on-5. Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah. Babcock was the coach of the Leafs. He always had Marner on the left flank shooting it into the slot, like for like the high tip.
Yeah,
it was, where it was like
Bozak or Kadri. Yeah, JVR was at net front.
They never do that kind of thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's always perimeter based.
It's just like I watch it and you see world class talent out there that they don't have world class chemistry. Mm-hmm. They don't work well together on the power play.
They don't.
There's a lack of chemistry.
It's crazy,
on
right?
The power play.
Because they've had statistically good seasons on the power play, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying they have the raw talent that they can score enough goals when they have more people on the ice than
but
the other team.
It's not working well together.
You look at the way Tampa Bay you know, Hedman's got the perfect handedness, and Kucherov, and he fakes it in to Point, who's perfect in the bumper, or even the Oilers, who I know are crap this year in the power play so far, but have been historically great. There isn't that, I can't tell you this thing they do that's dangerous. They just, it's almost like the Penguins last year when it's like, how can you have so many good players look so neutered?
Like, Kucherov knows what he's going to do with the puck before he even gets it.
He
makes the right decision. Either it's a shot, a pass, or a fake shot.
But it's quick. Whatever it is quick.
He
never catches it and thinks
about
it.
And they open up seams, and they just, their timing's impeccable on when they want to put it through the seam.
Mm-hmm.
And the Leafs just don't have that look or that feel.
Would you like to guess who's 1 point behind the Toronto Maple Leafs on the power play this year? The Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
They're 28th in the league.
Is that really?
27th, yeah.
So they're off to...
And the Oilers must be like 29th.
Yeah, the Oilers are 30th.
Yeah.
Dallas Stars 29th. It's early here.
Shocking numbers.
Well, we're just historically speaking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We have lots of stuff to get to. Any more on the power play?
Well, would switching up...
Okay.
Like, I know it's something we've talked about. I know it's something that all Leaf fans mentioned. But at what point do you do two units? Like, how much more? Like, is it you're just going to work yourself out to where it's going to be a top 10 power play and they get hot and we're just going to stick with it? That's just what it's going to be? Is that the answer to my question here? Or will they ever try something different?
With the exception of Tavares.
That's what I'm getting at here.
I'm not even counting him in this conversation. Between Willie, Marner, and Matthews, who doesn't start on the first power play?
I mean, you can pick him, Kip. Why can't you just say, it's Willie?
It's a minute and a minute.
It's not a minute and a minute, though.
No, it's not.
Like, last night they needed a goal. They're not coming off after 50 seconds, so Nick Robertson can come on
the ice.
No, but
in that situation, you would be different, right? Like, they'd load it up.
But that's what you're dealing with a desperate power play when you need a goal.
I don't disagree. I don't like the idea of one-on-one for me either. Just get the best guys out there. Well, I do think that Matthew Nyes is going to make a compelling case for himself before long to be involved. And not because I don't think Tavares is the dude around the net. He's still the dude around the net. Mm-hmm. But Matthew Nyes will get you pucks at least. Go get the puck. Win us rebounds. You know, get it in the forecheck so we don't get stopped up at the blue. He's just another element
that's so much one and done with the Leafs power play.
So much one and done.
Where they never
win enough pucks to the net.
If you don't have John Tavares out for a unit, either the first or
the second.
Well, then where's his value now?
Well, that's...
Can he play 5-on-5 now and produce?
But is the point then that you should keep him somewhere where he's ineffective because you're trying to...
Well, it's supposed to be the power play.
Right.
Right? It is supposed to be the power play where you can... And maybe a key face-off.
Oh, for him.
Yeah, for him.
You're supposed to get value out of him.
Yes.
I just think you're trying to get value out of your team and you need to be less concerned about what's best for him and what's best for the team. And if it's not him, then maybe he's on power play too. And
your thoughts on John Saturday night? Because there was a sense that he struggled, and people are like, how much slower did he get between last year and this year? And there's lots of there's some talk about where's his fit moving forward here.
Well, he's down a minute and a half per game,
which is significant. Time.
A lot
since Berube came in. So that's the new coach's call. He sees him as more of a third line guy. If you look statistically at the lines, the first line has been wildly dominant. Matthews, Marner, and Nyes have been wildly dominant. Nylander's line's been super dominant. Fourth line's been the best they've ever had. The third line with Tavares, Holmberg, and Robertson is the only place they're getting killed. They're getting killed in those minutes.
Yeah, they brought Lorenz up to the third line on Saturday night and put Holmberg down.
But like 2 games ago, the timeout, it's Holmberg and Tavares who are on it. They're getting outscored something like 7-2. Like it's a problem. It is the first problem the Leafs have.
For the most part, Max has looked good.
Domi?
Yes.
Looked excellent.
So that's a good sign. You keep kind of rolling with that as well. If there's one knock against Max, it's the one that he's had historically. And we saw ample example of that Saturday night on a 2-on-1 where it was just never a thought in his mind to shoot the puck.
But Kip, you're saying that's the issue or whatever. And to me, it's like his offense is not a huge issue. Like, yes, I want him to shoot more than he passes. But I worry more about, can your second line center defend like Max Domi, which is to say, not great.
Hasn't been a problem yet.
Nope.
So, you know, there's a sense that maybe he's tidying up some things there as well.
Could be. He's 29.
Could be a good sign moving forward. But if he's going to fall into that second line, he's got to start learning how to shoot a puck, because, you know, there's an argument to say that that's a selfish play on his part to try to pass it back. You gotta shoot the puck. You're hurting the ball
team
club.
Trying to be fancy, looking for the perfect play.
You know what? I'm not even lying. The thought I had in my mind watching that 2-on-1 was like, I really hope Willie shoots here because Max is gonna try to pass it back. Like, I had that thought in my mind. It's like, just shoot it, Willie. Like, he's gonna pass it back to you anyway. Just fire the thing, and he does, and it's infuriating.
What's crazy is like, well, these guys on the Leafs shoot too much. It's Nylander, Tavares, Matthews. And these guys, Domi and Marner, they pass too much. Yeah. And it's like, it's equally bad. Let's do both of the things.
So true.
Make the best play, not the one you prefer to do.
Yeah, it's so true.
It is. We have something on Willie's game. What did you think Saturday night on old 88?
I think it was a typical Willie game.
Very typical.
So he's a game breaker. He's got that skill.
He had two sticks out of frustration.
He had his selective, blow the zone early, which he's got the credit card to do.
He's the best cheater in the league.
So I'll tell you what I didn't like when the third empty netter, or the
second
third goal.
When he snapped his stick on the...
No.
The pass into the middle to Tavares?
No, he went back to retrieve a puck behind the net, and he went in with one hand, just no sense of urgency, lost a battle, and then they scored the empty net goal. It was Chris Kreider's goal. I mean, that's the part where, you know, if you can kind of clean up those little moments when you think no one's watching, you know, and you can go in there with one hand and try to poke check a puck, and it's like just make sure that, you know, you eliminate, or it's a 50-50, but just don't allow a Ranger to pass it back and then put it in an empty net, because you're still in the hockey game at 2-1 with a minute to go.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, that's nitpicking a little bit, but he has his moments when he's in and out of plays, and when he's in, he's all world, and when he's not, he's...
not.
Willie.
Let's listen to Berube. Clip 8, please.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, he's getting a lot of chances, and he's doing a pretty good job. Well, you know, I talk to Willie daily about just little things and things he can do better and defensively and without the puck and things like that. Just trying to, try to get him better in certain areas, like a lot of players.
I talk to him daily. Daily? Daily.
Daily.
I don't think the Leafs talked to Zach Hyman in 5 years. He just showed up and did it.
But it's what it's going to take.
That's what I'm talking, the difference.
You're trying to clean up like 8 years of...
Habits take time to break.
Bad habits.
Thank you, Derek. You were in my mind there. I was literally going to say that he said that. How many times has he said that already?
Yeah.
The habits.
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 Reminds me of like my son. We're trying to get him to stop sucking his thumb, so we bought him a glove. So, you know, like a conscious...
now
like,
he's sucking a glove.
Right, now he's sucking.
It's a good plan.
He's not. It's worked. But we need Willie to get some sort of like defensive glove. We need some sort of thing that makes him stop doing the bad parts.
I got to tell you, I don't want Willie playing defense. I'll be the one to say it.
I don't want him playing defense, but...
Like, I want him maybe to think about it, but I want him to think about going the other way more than he's thinking about back track. If he's playing center, it's a completely different story.
I think you're making a good point.
Why do you have to pick one or the other? Why can't you have both?
Because he's not going to be Marian Hossa. Like, his best skills are flying off the rush, catching pucks, cheating. Like, but I don't want him thinking defense. I want him to think about shooting the puck in the net. They have plenty of good players that play defense.
That's just a horrible message to send.
You know what? You're right, but that's how horrible I feel about it. Like, I'm over worrying about Willie being this stud. It's not going
to
happen.
To
stop trying to make fetch happen. It's just not going to happen.
You just have to be responsible enough where it doesn't hurt the club.
Well, having Chief tell you daily today, tonight, if that doesn't convince you, and being age 28 your eighth season, it ain't happening.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Holmberg?
What's that?
Holmberg?
Holmberg.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that so Patches is in.
Yeah. Reeves is out.
Reeves is out, and Holmberg's still in.
Surprised by that?
No.
Okay.
No, because and that's not to take away. I thought the fourth line again. They've been solid all season.
So good.
Right out of training camp. I think there's ample forecheck. There's ample taking the man.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fairly responsible. They've done everything asked.
Mm-hmm.
So no issues there. But he can't play center like Holmberg.
Yep.
Can't kill penalties like Holmberg. Can't take a faceoff like Holmberg. You're playing Tampa Bay.
It's really true.
Ryan Reeves is the guy you have to take out.
Yep.
Wow, you convinced me. I didn't agree until you started talking. Now I do.
Me too. Good job, Kip. You convinced us.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's obviously been an issue with, like, Holmberg in terms of his...
He's not played well.
He hasn't played well. And Brube mentioned it. He talked about him post-game. We hear this clip on him.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah, all right.
You know, I thought he, you know, came out in camp and had a real good camp. And, you know, I think, you know, he... To me, he's got a... You know, battle a little bit harder for pucks, you know, and... hang on to the pucks a little bit more like he was in training camp and in the offensive zone and things like that and kind of just get up to speed. Looks just a little step behind maybe right now.
Too heavy? Is that possible? Like if you're looking a step behind and you put on some muscle in the off season, he's on the wrong end of, on the penalty he took, the neutral zone there.
So he did the opposite of last year where he had a great camp and convinced everybody he was great and then... has come in and hasn't been great. And then it was the opposite last year. Went down to the Marlies, played great. And Minton took his spot last year. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
And this is now the time where you can't let your foot off the gas pedal. And he has a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody's, again, on their best behavior coming out of training camp. You want to impress, new coach, new attitude, new feeling. And now you're settling in a little bit. And we're seeing maybe a few guys with their guards down a little bit. He's one of them.
I will say some of the things that Berube initially was like, you know, he liked Holmberg more than I expected him to, didn't like McMahon as much as I thought he should. Those things are kind of coming into, you know, McMahon's getting a little bit more love and Holmberg a little less. But
so where does this leave Max Pacioretty? And if we were to say that we would be five games in and Max has been in and out of the lineup and not locked in any particular position. How surprised would you have been? Or is it just right exactly where it should be?
I wouldn't have been surprised that he was scratched twice if you told me, you know, Nick Robertson has stayed hot. He's shooting a few in the net, you know, or Holmberg is great or, you know, whatever else. But you know, the guys that he should be replacing haven't been very good, and he still can't get it, which I think if for Pacioretty is a concern, or at least a statement from the team that says, if we're going to pay you $300,000 a game 10 and another $300,000 a game 35, we're going to need value for that money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some pressure on him to have a better night tonight. Robertson, too. How long is Nick Robertson going to not score for the team to say, yes, fine, carry on?
All right, let's go to Craig Berube for Kipper's Clipper on Max Pacioretty back in the lineup.
I don't know if it was a time thing. Like, team was playing pretty well. We didn't, you know, obviously didn't win last game, so I'm just making a lineup change. We got back-to-back games here, so I have an opportunity to get fresh guys in there and keep guys fresh for the next game.
Okay.
Reese will be out tonight.
Reese is out tonight. He really will not take the bait.
No.
On anything. It's amazing.
It's great.
Like, it's a clear message, you know, I think probably from upper management to him to be like, just don't say too much.
Like, okay, if he was to take a truth pill, then what do you think what are you expecting him to say?
Because
I hear him now and all I hear is, I don't know how this story is going to turn out. Let's just wait and see.
You don't even hear coach speak. You hear a guy telling you the truth. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
we'll see.
Take him in, take him out. We got a lot of games. We got a lot of,
But he's got to have a feeling, right?
But he'll never share that feeling with us.
I'll never tell.
Okay, so maybe what I'm getting at.
So
here's like,
what would you like
to keep his mouth shut?
Think that you could hear that you're not hearing.
As you know, it is a very controlled message that comes out of the Toronto Maple Leafs on a lot of different stuff, where you know, you see the 20 or what is the 24th, the original Amazon one, where they're really interested in narratives and all this different stuff. And
I will say Dubas and Keefe were very interested in that. I don't know
but that's like, this is a new regime where it's like a new relationship where you're like reading into everything. You're like, what does he mean by that? What does she mean by that? It's like, maybe nothing.
Here's an
like,
idea.
Maybe he's just like, you know nothing. What? I'm, you know, we lost the game, so I'm going to try a different guy.
Yeah.
That's it. And I have to get used to that.
Yes.
So maybe I'm reading too much into what he's saying, or I'm trying to like decipher. Cause it felt like whenever Keefe talked, we could read between the lines on four different things that he said. And maybe that's not the case. Anyways, that's what I'm getting.
I do believe he has an opinion on where he thinks this is all going to play out, but he's the last guy that will ever hit a microphone and think that he's teaching you something or he's the smartest in the room. Like, you're not getting that from Craig Berube. I believe that he's got stronger opinions for sure on how this thing could look or play out, but way too savvy to tip his hand where Sheldon could talk himself into saying something.
Correct.
Do you think that it's pretty rare, I think, for management to say, play this guy or don't play this guy if the coach really feels differently. Do you think this is a case where management is saying, let's at least give these other guys a chance first because we have to pay this guy if he plays a bunch. So let's just test all these guys a bit more and we'll kind of make some decisions up and save that decision. They don't want to pay him $6.6 million if he's not helping. So do you think they're telling him, hey.
I don't think they are because it's a brand new relationship and you don't want to.
Go to the new coach and tell him what to do?
Totally.
Yeah,
I agree
with that.
Do I believe that Sheldon got told every once in a while?
So-and-so's in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Jed Alexander.
Who?
Jed Alexander. Remember the emergency goalie they put in? The last.
Bagley. Like, very vaguely.
And I remember Keefe talking after being like, that wasn't my day. I didn't do that.
There's something to be said, too, for like, Nick Robertson, whatever you built up for him, you don't necessarily want to lose for a number of reasons. Number one is, I think it would be devastating to his confidence to be a healthy scratch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you could be working on something that could be bigger than just Nick for a fourth round pick. So what's the message now?
Do you know something?
What do you got?
Give us a good discuss.
What are they working on?
Listen, they've got to manage money here. So
yep. I heard some again, things.
Jan Krook is coming back.
Jan Krook
is coming back.
Jan Krook.
So we got to fit some money in.
Yeah.
So,
do you think about Tavares when you talk about money in these conversations?
He's at $11 million. You're locked in. There's not much there. And I think if there was going to be if you're going to make a move on trying to find a different way to change the look, you would have done it by now. So, I do think that's a dilemma. Right, it's not today because Max is holding his own.
A dilly of a pickle.
But it's a dilly of a pickle with John long term for this season. Everybody's like, well, is the year will, you know, his deal's done after the end of this year, and you don't have to worry about it. And that's $11 million. It's like, okay, but like, did they get out of the first round this year?
Mm-hmm.
Did they not? And what happened? Did Brendan Shanahan keep his job?
Mm-hmm.
Did he not? Right? It's like a lot of what ifs well beyond.
Yeah, you keep him through the year and it goes wrong and you go, well, now it's gone, but you also wasted a year because you lost in game seven by a goal again.
And,
you know, it's sorry.
Good Lord.
Sorry to bring up that vibe.
No. And again, can you protect John a little bit in the next little while if he continues to
$11 million?
Yeah, you do. I got news for you. Yeah. You do. Does it mean moving off to the wing? Does it mean nights off? Does it
that
mean
would be an idea.
Like, hey, but John,
God,
it's
that would be bad though.
Maybe a few nights off, and then in February you send him to Florida for a week, and just tell him get ready for the playoffs.
Maybe they could.
I wear this magical amulet.
Maybe they could send
my
him.
My God.
To Robidoux Island with his $11 million, and then bring him back for the playoffs. So they have that $11 million to spend. Maybe his legs will start hurting.
Ooh. Is this the fake injury year?
His back is barking. He's been carrying too many amulets
October
around his neck.
October 21st was the first time we theorized about the fake injury.
It is. It's
every distinct, other team does
it's
it.
It's a distinct possibility that there could be some wear and tear on him.
He needs to get hurt in mid-February to late February. Hurt, by the way. I don't want him physically hurt.
Like
he needs to get hurt.
Quote, in quotes, hurt.
Yeah. So at the deadline, they could use the money.
Listen, you got him to give up the C.
Doctor said I need a
bacchiotomy. He might need a bacchiotomy. Okay. Yeah, all right. We're off.
But anyways, but you mentioning Robertson playing and trying to keep him playing because of potential, like, he's Sam Mitchell right now. Five games.
Zero.
He's got zero across the board after what he did in the preseason. Zero. And, like, listen, is he working?
It's, sure, but. Did you see how big the Rangers are?
Oh, my God. He's
on the blue line.
Like, he is
Will
noticeably.
Is
he can't. He,
amazing.
It's hard for him to get to the net, guys.
You know, and I hate to say this.
He hasn't grown 1 inch.
But he might be better for them not in these big games against Tampa and the Rangers. It may be the nights where they've been losing to Columbus and Chicago that he gets you the two you need to win some regular season games. I don't know.
Okay.
They've been losing those games
last
year.
I don't ever see a coach or general manager saying,
let's keep him, for
let's keep him
the
around
bad teams.
For like stinky teams.
Yeah, Matthews can't score against Columbus, so we got to keep Robertson around to do
okay,
that.
Okay, we are running out of time, and I want to talk about Tampa Bay, Toronto
Ooh.
Tonight.
Wouldn't be the show without a Cooper's.
No, so let's have Clipper. John Cooper Listen. Tell us. Yes, on the Leafs, clip two, John Cooper.
It's the same cast of characters, in my opinion. Have a really good team. They're north of 100 points every single year. I know Sheldon. I know, Berube, like, great guys. Probably two little different styles, but they both win. And, what I noticed in the team, you look at the box score against the Rangers the other night, and, it says 4-1, but clearly it was not a 4-1 game. And they got a hell of a team. And he's, you can tell he's, he's... They've got some pushback in their game, and it's I would expect nothing less from his coach teams.
Can we get same cast of characters drop, please, Derek? We're going to need that for future reference.
Also, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a man that thought about the possibility of coaching in Toronto this summer.
Why is that?
I think there was a message somewhere. If there's any opportunity for Cooper to leave Tampa Bay.
Message
and the answer was no.
Yeah.
What? That is such a thing for you to mention at 4:52.
Well, he's just a guy that I think he's a top guy. Let's not get ourselves.
The top.
And I'm not saying that I'm not saying Berube was second here. I'm just saying that Brad Treliving left no stone unturned. That's
great.
All I'm saying.
Great. So
Cooper as the coach here would have.
I also think it's hilarious. The most disrespectful I've ever heard someone be while saying that's a good team.
It's the same cast of characters.
It's the same. That is a great
100
drop.
Points every
just
year.
Say, and they'll find a way to blow in the first round.
Like, might as well have.
It's all draped in this they're a great team. It's the same guys, 100 plus points. But all he's
great
saying is doesn't
regular
matter what
season.
They do, they can't win.
Great regular season.
All they do is get 100 plus points.
That
no
man's never said anything genuine to the media.
Did you get anything out of him on Stamkos?
He did. He talked about Stamkos. Want to hear it?
Yeah,
well,
sure.
We don't have a ton of time.
Do we have time?
I think we have time. Blake, let's go.
With every day, it's a little less. Definitely coming into camp and, not having him there. There was definitely a different feeling. And, then you just ultimately start focusing on who you have and what's going on. And then, you kind of keep your eye open from afar. But it was definitely different. First time I've been at camp and he's not been there. And I've said many times it's tough losing these guys. And he's not the only one we've lost. There's a long, long list of guys that have hoisted the Stanley Cup that are no longer with us. And I wish you'd keep them all, but... understanding it is a business for everyone at some point. He was definitely different at the beginning of camp.
Okay, we go national in a few minutes. We'll get into Stamkos and more when we return. Gary Galley up next. Don't go away.